60 Progressive Talk. Good morning. I'm filling in for Jay. Hey, Jay. Welcome back on Monday. It's 303-713-7600 at 7:06 in the morning. Wow, 60,000 people on that list for community credentials at Invesco. Whoa. You know, and we're analyzing what Hillary supporters want. What do you want? I'm extending an olive branch. I'm sticking out my hand in friendship. What do you want? What is it? Because Hillary got caught at a thing saying that everybody's cathartic. We need a catharsis. Well, you had one in early June. You know, it's like, why do you need another catharsis? I just look. Have I wanted a woman president all my life? Of course I do. But am I going to look at it like the first time we really had a serious shot? She lost. And she lost to a once-in-a-lifetime, amazingly charismatic man who has the capacity to unify the country in a way that is so new and so fresh. You know, I'm sorry, Hill. You lost. You know? And just stop it. Just stop talking about yourself. I want a catharsis for my supporters. Well, okay, supporters, what do you want? How do you want the catharsis? Because I agree with Barack Obama, because when I was asked about entering Clinton's name into nomination, he said, I don't think we're looking for catharsis. I think what we're looking for is energy and excitement about the prospects of changing this country. Hooray! He said it was getting worked out by their staffs, by the way, and good for him. Why should he get into this? He shouldn't. I'm stretching. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in case you were wondering what that weird noise was. 303-713-7600. I would love to hear from you. I really want to know, what is it that you want? And yes, I am a little bit pointed about it. I'm kind of tired of hearing about all this. Have your parade, do all this. But it really is Barack Obama's campaign. 60,000 people want tickets overnight in one day. With all due respect, I don't think you could have commanded that kind of attention. Rose in Longmont, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. And does it hurt? Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi, Rose.
Obama will be a gentleman and a good man, which I think he is, and he will realize that Hillary and her supporters have every right to be represented down there at that convention and to be there and take part in it. They worked very hard. 18 million is what it ended up to be that
they
supported
did.
Her.
Yep.
And we respect I'm from the World War II era, married to a Marine who made it back, and I was in the Army Nurse Corps. And one thing that my generation had that I don't see now, and I'm going to scold you all a little bit, let's have some respect for our parents and our grandparents and for the Democrats, for that matter. If some of these people write her name in, then we'll be in trouble with McCain, and I don't want the Republicans back in there. So let's consider that. Let's be polite and nice and be good to the people that I've worked so hard, and Hillary's one of the hardest workers for the Democrats, and Bill it would have been a good ambassador, a good old Bill. He only made one mistake, and that was fooling around with Monica. So let's be good and kind, and let's be fair. Fairness counts in this world. Okay?
I would hope so, Rose. Thank you very much. You know,
right.
And you raise a good point, because there is a movement among the Hillary Clinton supporters to write her name in on the ballot rather than vote for Barack Obama. Well, I'm going to say the same thing I told to people who voted for Ralph Nader. Don't do this. Oh, and Ralph Nader this week tried to interject himself back into attention. People are dissatisfied. They want me. No, they don't, Ralph. Go away. Just go away, Ralph. Not your turn. Not your time. Goodbye. Good luck. See you later. Now, I don't want to quash dissent. I know there are a number of people who are upset at the decision in court the other day. The ACLU was, among others. And protesters, we're going to take it to them. Great. That'll be exactly what the right-wing Republicans want. What are you, out of your mind? You've got to know deep in your soul that Barack Obama is a better choice than John McCain, more of the same, 4 more years of George W. Bush. You have absolutely got to know that. But because of whatever your cause is, I don't know what your cause is, whatever it is, mine's more important than yours. Mine's more important than unity at the Democratic Party. I've got to stand and shout and confront convention goers. You know, I'm sorry, don't, please. You know, just stop it. to try. Please don't cause riots. Please don't hurl anything at people who are demonstrating, and especially not excrement. Don't do it. It's just going to make every news media outlet. But don't do it just because you. I'm not trying to squelch your free speech. I want you to have your say. And I know it's hard to be segregated from the action. But, you know, we don't want any kind of action that looks even vaguely like Chicago in 1968, because they'll make all sorts of kinds of analogies. And it's not fair. Look, I know our country is behind on civil rights. I know. One thing that's interesting, though, is even though they tried to stack the deck, did you notice, against Hamdan, the Osama bin Laden's driver, they gave him 60, the military court, the military tribunals that George W. Bush created, Dick Cheney created, Don Rumsfeld created in order to try to punish and do whatever they wanted and run things their own anti-constitutional way. The U.S. military, as usual, in its ultimate wisdom, looked up and said, tried him, only convicted him on one count of being Osama bin Laden's driver, and then gave him 66 months and suspended 5 years of the sentence. So he's gonna be eligible to be free in a few months. And the judge even told him, "I hope you get to go back home and enjoy your family." He cried. What have we, you know, you just, and this is our first trial about terrorism, because we can't try the ones who are really guilty, because we tortured them. Just remember all this. When you start to think, oh yeah, John McCain, good choice. John McCain, who has been tortured, went against, this man is so out of control ambitious that he went against the inner voices of his nature and went for torture in the end. This man betrayed every principle he's ever stood for and went for torturing people when he himself has been tortured. This is beyond redemption, you know? This is not healthy at all. And John, I know we've got that ad, Maverick No More. Here's what the latest, it seems like the McCain campaign's whole raison d'etre lately has been, throw out an ad, see if it sticks. Oh, Paris responded to us. Oh, we've got to get something else out. And their ad that they got out was basically an accumulation of positive things said about John McCain. And then the Democrats responded with an ad called Maverick No More. Let's play these, and let's play it, and let's listen to it, and then let's talk about it too, because I think it raises some other questions about the way that this campaign is going and how it should be played by the Democrats in order to win, because that's, after all, the point. We want to play to win. And then, all of you protesters, please hold Barack Obama's feet to the fire every single day. But don't cost us this election. Please don't. It's 7:14. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Here's the sound.
It's stylistically and substantively. There is no daylight between George Bush and John McCain. They are joined at the hip.
John McCain has changed in profound and fundamental ways that I find personally really surprising. And frankly, upsetting. It is not the John McCain as the senator who defined himself, quote, as a maverick, though questionable. This is a different John McCain.
On Iraq, on the economy, on tax policy, on domestic policy, across the board, he is espousing the Bush policies. He's changed a lot since 2001.
But in the end, after 8 devastating years under President Bush, Senator McCain is simply offering 4 years more.
You know, the John McCain of 2000 wouldn't vote for this John McCain. We don't need another 4 years of George Bush. What he's proposing is 4 more years of George Bush's economic policy. And it's ridiculous and it's unfair to the American people.
And that's the response ad that was put out.
To welcome my friend John McCain as the nominee of the Republican Party. I wish you all the best. Glad to be your friend.
Proud to be your friend. Okay, so that was an onslaught. They took Joe Biden, John Kerry, Tom Daschle, Hillary Clinton, and Howard Dean, all of whom they had used praising John McCain in an ad the McCain campaign did. So what happened was, it was called Maverick, you know, to try to remember, because that's John McCain's strength, is allegedly he is, you know, an independent thinker. Well, he's not. He's voted 90% of the time. That would be 90% of the time with GW, okay, with W, as he likes to call himself. So he's voted with the initial, a guy who totally tried to slaughter his family. This is what disturbs me about McCain. No matter what anybody does to him, betray him, insult his family, he's tortured by the North Vietnamese. So years later, he goes, I'm against torture. I hate torture. Torture is wrong. It's not even effective. And then he flip-flops. Oh, yeah, torture's okay. What? What? How could you possibly advocate it as a tool when everybody agrees, pretty much anybody sane in the intelligence community, it's not effective? You know, all the jack you can watch above, you know, go figure. You know, John McCain probably watches 24. As a matter of fact, I know he does. 303-713-7600. I would love to talk to you. And really seriously and truly, if you are a Hillary Rodham Clinton supporter, I want to know from you, what is it that you want? If you've got community credentials, that's an interesting question. I wonder if any Hillary supporters asked for community credentials. I know they were open to Republicans and independents, too, which annoyed some Democrats. So I want to know whether you went for it, whether you would like one. And what are you planning to do at the convention? Are you going to be like our Boulder activist, Phil Bartel, who went up and helped unfurl a banner against the prejudice against the Tibetans by the Chinese, or, you know, the occupation of their country? Or are you going to be a mensch and show up and say, yay, Barack Obama? What are you going to do? And what is it that you want? I have an idea about some things you want from Gloria Steinem. But since you haven't called me, I'm going to have to supply some of your answers unless you call me up. I'd love to and welcome and invite you. 303-713-7600. I talk to Republicans. I'm happy to talk to Hillary supporters. Don't be put off by the fact that I've always supported Barack Obama. I'll listen to you. He listens to you. What do you want? Because I think there's some things that you could ask for that actually are good things to ask for. Just not things like parades. Those aren't as effective as the things I have in mind. 303-713-7600 with all undue arrogance. It's 7:19 in the morning on AM 760 Progressive Talk on Friday. Time for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Hey, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk, filling in for J. Marvin. On this day, on August 8th, 1974, Richard Nixon announced he would resign following damaging revelations in the Watergate scandal. Perhaps, and it's also the anniversary of the day Napoleon Bonaparte set sail for St. Helena in the South Atlantic to spend the rest of his days in exile in 1815. So on this historic day, let's ask, what do you guys want, the Hillary Rodham Clinton supporters? I think she has a tremendous future as a leader of the Democratic Party. I just don't think it's going to be immediately as president of the United States. Might be in 2016, but I don't think it's going to be right now. I think she'd make a swell governor. I think she'd make a wonderful majority leader. She sure couldn't be, well, she'd be much better than Harry. Preston in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Preston.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call myself a Hillary Clinton supporter in some ways. I mean, I'm more of a Dennis Kucinich type supporter, Ralph Nader also. And, you know, I read further left journals like Z Magazine that often give, you know, very sharp criticisms of the Clinton administration and the institutions that pressured him and her. But having said that, I must say on C-SPAN, when I'd catch her giving a speech during the campaign, I was really impressed. She would bring up issues like children's rights, the Children's Defense Fund, farmers markets. She was advocating for them. She was critical of the nuclear power industry.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a big plant outside of New York City, Indian Point, which is often leaking from the pipes and all this. By the way, a nuclear submarine had a leak in Japan recently that McCain's always touting as being so safe.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. Yeah. I think nuclear is bad because it has no brakes.
Yeah.
Period, no question marks.
You know, more recently, Hillary Clinton helped to develop the Center for American Progress, and she advised David Brock when he was kind of switching sides and feeling very ashamed of the work he was doing.
MediaMatters.org.
That's right, and she was part of that. And on and on and on. She's done all these wonderful things, and she's not getting credit for it. Instead, we're, you know, these particular quotes are being put out there, and then people are calling in and just casting aspersions on her constantly and never giving her credit for these worthwhile things. So,
you know, I'm liking that you're speaking up this way, because the reason is because she said, you know, we need a catharsis. What she should concentrate on are the issues that matter to her. And if she wants to get those addressed at the convention, I think that's perfectly valid. Mm-hmm. I, for example, would like to hear Barack Obama talking more about children's rights, about women's rights, because he's had a couple of dubious statements on that score. I want to hear him talk about farmers market rights, too. The general is a little more rough and tumble, though, and national security and energy has been possessing everyone's attention.
Yeah.
So I think... I think you're right. I hope to see that at the convention. That is one thing I do hope, is that they give a huge amount of due to things like the Children's Defense Fund, to nuclear energy and why it's bad, and oil drilling and why it's bad, and explain it to people. Somebody, Tom Hartman, came up with a great idea that every Democrat in the country should stand on a piece of land that the oil drillers have leased but are not developing, and just stand there and go, why aren't they drilling here? Why aren't they drilling here? You know, out in a boat off the shore. Why aren't they drilling here?
Yeah, and why aren't Republicans being criticized for their years of blocking higher fuel efficiency for cars?
Yeah, exactly. But they, you know, I don't think they're, I think that somebody said that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi are both very good power wielders and both very good legislators. That may be true, but they need to be better, as Tom Hartman puts it, at the theater of this.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that Hillary got better and better at on the campaign trail. I absolutely agree. She got better and better. Now I wish she would use her theatrical skills, though, more to bring up issues that matter to women, children, and people who may not have a voice, rather than make it all about them.
And I think we also have to be critical of some of the theater directors. I think the media is making parts of it, are making a very conscious effort to pick these topics to divide us and to avoid important issues.
I agree with you. You know, for years I have stood up for the media. For years I've said they're busy, they're this, they're that, they have a lot to cover. But I agree with you. I watch this, you know, Fox has always been bad, but even Dan Abrams had to call him out the other day. They did this piece with this guy who wrote about Barack Obama's Christianity and his deep and abiding commitment to being Christian. So what did they do at the bottom of the screen? They went, raised by a Muslim stepfather.
Right. Yep.
You know, raised.
Yep.
I mean, they are just relentless. So I agree. And they're the worst, most obvious example.
Yep.
But I agree with you. I think that all the three big nets pick on him inordinately. And I'm not alone in that. Some studies have been done by J schools that agree.
And I think we can learn from our history regarding things like Operation Mockingbird, about some of the elements involved in our media that are very good at manipulating people and dividing them. But one last comment. Bill Clinton, on the back of a book called Natural Capitalism, which is about developing a sustainable economy, Bill blurbed that book. I think that's what some of the people are really angry at him for, because he's a supporter of this stuff. And he said, natural capitalism basically proves beyond any argument that there are presently available technologies, and those just on the horizon, which will permit us to get richer by cleaning, not by spoiling the environment.
Well, good. I'm glad Al Gore finally had enough of an impact on him, because he sure didn't do what Al Gore was asking him to do when he was president.
Right.
Thank you very much,
Preston.
I appreciate it.
And
you raised some very good points, and he's right. If as a Hillary supporter, that's what you want, I say, amen, sister, brother. Let's do it. Let's have more of that kind of talk at the convention. I'd like to see Barack Obama talking more about it, but he's busy having to dodge and weave and talk about all kinds of different things on the campaign trail because the McCain attack machine has been relentless. And if he doesn't come back at him, he'll lose ground. But he's also got to set the agenda. One thing I think that they did do, don't tell the networks, but I think they changed the conversation to be about McCain this week. We're talking more about McCain than we have in the past. And if it's about McCain and his connection to Bush, guess who wins? It's 7:30. I'm Erin Hart. Open invitation to Hillary supporters this morning. What do you want? 7:30 in the morning. And I'd love to talk to you on the Jay Marvin Show. Time for Colorado's Progressive Talk It with traffic. That would be with John Turk. Coming up in the next hour, we have an interview with Scott Lilly, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress on Bushonomics, since I mentioned it this week and how bad it is. And thanks for reminding us. I did mention in the first hour that there has been a man arrested. Raymond Hunter Geisel, 22, was arrested by the Secret Service Saturday in Miami. He was ordered held at Miami's downtown detention center without bail Thursday by a federal magistrate. He is charged with making threats against Obama, apparently Barack Obama. He was keeping weapons and military-style gear, according to USA Today, in his hotel room and in his car. He had threatened to assassinate the Democratic presumptive nominee, Barack Obama. He, in an affidavit, they said he made the threat during a training class for bail bondsmen in Miami in late July. According to someone else in the 48-member class, Geisel allegedly referred to Obama with a racial epithet and continued, "If he gets elected, I'll assassinate him myself." So they have arrested. He also said that he hated George Bush and he wanted to put a bullet in the president's head. And he denied in a written statement to a secret agent that he ever made those threats. The documents don't indicate whether he ever took steps to carry out any assassination. Very sick and sad news. All right, let's go back to our conversation about things we can control. I'll tell you something. I hope that there is the tightest security ever for all of our sakes. Welcome, Bob, in Denver. How are you doing? And thanks for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
How are you doing?
I'm well. You?
I'm okay, except I have, I could have very easily supported Hillary, but there was one reason I never did. And I can tell you, when I was a Department of Labor, I was just absolutely in a state of shock and just anger when Bill Clinton switched his support to support NAFTA, which I don't think there would have been a Bush presidency if he hadn't pushed NAFTA, because it confused a lot of workers who thought that he was on their side, and that's what I think caused a lot of the splits with people voting. And I can tell you to this day, all the conversations that I have with people about, work history and problems with employment, they equate the Democrats and Clinton with NAFTA and sending jobs to China, when it was actually Reagan and Bush who wanted to do that. And to me, that's what's been the problem for Democrats all along. And even today, a lot of times, even Barack can't really say too much about being anti-free trade. And the thing of it is, I can tell you, just from all the experience that I've had, working with for the job service, I mean, the support of NAFTA has completely shattered, our employment situation in this country. I don't think people realize how far-reaching that's been and how many millions of jobs we've lost.
It's really pretty bad, and that's part of the reason we're going to talk to Center for the American Progress next hour. When you have school employees stealing gasoline, at pumps in Colorado, it's horrifying.
Well, the thing is, Bill Clinton switched his position on NAFTA. He ran against NAFTA, and he actually sided with Newt Gingrich. And actually beat. I mean, I remember when he was just hammering Democrats, and forcing them, to vote for NAFTA.
Well, see, free trade sounds so good on paper because it lifts up all boats and it helps people in third world countries and all of that stuff. But in practicality, it's worked out. The Chinese still have embargoes on us. It has worked out to be totally unfair.
But Erin,
other countries are putting tariffs on our goods, but then we've taken them off.
Yeah, but
so
Erin,
it's not fair.
Right after he did that, the Democrats lost all their power in Congress. I mean, basically, it flipped. It actually really began to flip to the Republicans. And And the Democrats have never, ever recovered from that. And even today, when I talk to working-class people, they say that, you know, they blame the Democrats for losing all their jobs. And the Republicans come out and say it, even though they were the ones really, really behind it. He gave the Republicans such political cover that even today the Democrats are having a heck of a time overcoming it. I mean, it's amazing to me that just about every worker I talk to blame Clinton and the Democrats. It's like it really... He really did so much damage to the Democratic Party, ultimately. And that, I mean, I could have supported Hillary, except that she still will not reject the kind of free trade that we have, ultimately. And the thing of it is, you cannot compete with somebody making 30 cents an hour in Vietnam or 50 cents an hour in China and say that you're going to have any kind of economy. Because my parents worked for a shoe factory for 40 years each combined and made a living.
Well, one good positive thing, though, Bob, that has been happening lately, I mean, it's sick and it's sad, but with higher fuel costs and containers now costing $8,000 to ship overseas rather than $3,000, guess what's happening?
Yeah,
factories are coming back. IKEA's back. IKEA's moved their factory here
That's
to make
good.
Goods and services
right.
for the United States. Wait, let me finish. Lazy Boy is expanding, and furniture making is coming back to North Carolina. So maybe there'll be some changes made. I think
take,
we have to hope.
30 years.
It may. It may. I'm not saying, but I still don't. I still think the Democrats are an infinitely better choice for our country.
I do too. But the thing of it is, I will never forgive Bill Clinton for what he did, because I can tell you just from all the pain and suffering.
I can tell.
I mean, I had people coming to me, you know, looking for jobs, and I can tell you by the time I retired 10 years ago, because of Bill Clinton and the Republicans. You know, the kind of jobs that people need have basically been just totally trashed.
Well, and that's why, thank you very much for your call. And that's why we have to elect Barack Obama, because he's got clean energy plans. He's got infrastructure plans. See, I think he can be, especially with the help of a Congress that's in Democratic hands, we can create a new Rooseveltian time. And I'm not saying everything should belong to the government, because I think it has to be public and private partnerships. I think we also have to acknowledge trade with the world. But I think it can be free and fair. I think there can be environmental concerns, because that'll come back to bite us. If we let China and India develop and ruin our atmosphere when we're trying to clean it up, it still isn't going to work. So we're all going to have to encourage each other and work collaboratively to make this a better world for all of us. How we get that accomplished is going to be the very difficult challenge facing Barack Obama when he comes into office. It's 303-713-7600. Doug in Westminster, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Happy Friday, sweetie.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, Toots. You?
Oh, I'm just so peachy. I'm agreeing with the last caller right there. Clinton, you know, he left us a good economy, left us some ducats in the bank and all that. But I watched the Aaron Russo special again, Freedom to Fascism. A lot of people don't know that Billy Boy was tapping our lines before W ever showed up. And that's pretty nasty right there. And he was exactly right about Reagan and Daddy Bush starting all this NAFTA. They threw Bill into the corner and says, you are going to sign this. That's basically what it came down to. And everybody that thinks free trade is good, it's free for one person or one side. And we don't get nothing. I'm from the Northeast, and there's no jobs back there. People
well, that's
are suffering.
Part that's part of the problem is that it isn't about free trade. It's about liberating, you know, cheap goods for it's like about it became about cheap VCRs for us.
Yep.
And that, you know, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. I don't care about getting a cheap VCR. I'd rather have jobs in the United States for my people. I'd rather be rebuilding our infrastructure. It's not like we lack for things to do. You know, and the Republicans, when they say, well, we don't want to invest, you know, our money into businesses, I do. I'd rather have stock in the United States of America rebuilding its infrastructure so that we could be better compete with the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have us have high-speed trains. I'd rather have us have green energy and lead the world in that, because if we don't change over. Now, part of it is Detroit's fault. Let's face it. Detroit lagged behind. They built big honking SUVs in the flight of every kind of predictions. They thought only about their immediate paycheck rather than the long run, okay? That's their fault. And I don't know what to say about that except to say that if we don't start getting innovation, what we have done is we have created a mercantile class where we reward mediocrity and where big moguls make 400 to 500 times what people on the line make, which is an obscenity in and of itself,
sure,
because none of them are 400 to 500 times smarter. And their big vested interest is into changing over companies. We became about making fast money rather than long-term investment. And the day we started doing that, and it was a multitude of sins and a multitude of faults, but the days that we started doing that are the days we began to lose.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, kiddo. I think we deserve to lose our three car makers here, because the oil companies absolutely 100% dictate what a car is going to get for mileage. It's been proven with the smart car coming over here. They suspended the shipment of the smart car because all of a sudden, somewhere over the pond, those little cars got half the mileage that they were getting over there. And they do have carburetors that do get 90 to 100 miles to a gallon. That's been proven. And also on Ed Schultz and even Randy Rhodes, they had guests on there talking about the electric car with the charging system hooked to the wheels in 1935 from GM.
Wow.
You know, the people are... We're all stupid. We are all collectively not smart when it comes to that, but we can't do anything about it. That's
yes,
why the car makers need to lose.
Yes, we can. We can go and vote. We can go and vote. And you know what? I wish that we had more training. If I could instill training into the schools, I would teach us how to become stockholders and how to tell them what to do. Because part of the reason why this happened is people, and I'm as sinful as this. I don't vote
every
time.
You got lazy.
As we got lazy and we don't pay attention, or we say it's too overwhelming, I don't know.
That's right.
Well, you know what? We've got to figure it out, or we've got to hold people accountable in a way that makes sense for us.
Hey, I'm
so,
going to let you go. So
there
get
we go.
More callers on there. You have
All
a
right.
great weekend.
Thanks.
And we'll hear you next time.
Let's do that. Thank you.
All
Angie
right,
in Westminster, thank you for joining us. Angie.
Morning. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm actually in Louisville, but that's okay.
Oh,
Close
sorry. That was my bad.
There are just too many things to talk about this morning, but the reason that I had originally called was back when you had said something about the Hillary supporters, and I just wanted to make a comment, is that this is not the first time that the person who many of us wanted didn't get win. But the thing that I have been very impressed about with Barack Obama is that at every step, he has showed himself equal to the task. He did a great job of campaigning during the primary season.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a very good job of, you know, rising to the top and not burning bridges and trying to be conciliatory. I saw him when he came here in Colorado Springs give his sort of points of light speech, and it was great. I mean, he was inspirational. He made me think about what I can do for the country. And I think we really need that at this point. We need someone who can make us feel happy about ourselves and feel good about what we can do for ourselves instead of always thinking about ourselves. Because right now,
yeah. We
are totally in sort of this swirling vortex of it's all about me. And we never think about anyone who has any other kind of problems except our own. And so, yes, sometimes you can criticize people for voting against their economic interests, but a lot of that is to hurt other people. You know, we don't want to vote for gays to have rights because we hate them or we don't like them or somehow they're
afraid.
A threat to us or whatever. And I mean, I respect people's religious beliefs that, you know, gay marriage may be a sin or whatever, but in the end, we need to start thinking about how we would treat other people and the golden rule of Christianity. And
Judaism, where it started.
Yes,
but anyway,
and, you know, I mean, that's a common thread amongst every
yes.
a society in general, is because we have to realize if we're not just the single person sitting on the mountain, that we really need to work in a community. And then the second reason I called was I saw a John McCain commercial this morning on Channel 7 that nearly made me choke to death laughing. Because he said, well, Barack Obama is going to raise your taxes and increase government spending and therefore fewer jobs. And I said, well, if government is spending money, that means they have to hire people to do stuff.
Yes.
And so, in fact, higher government spending actually will probably translate to more jobs.
which would be a good idea. And when, believe you me, when private business sees some really good innovation coming out of universities and wherever, and public and private partnerships, they'll want to go into business and build wind turbines. I don't think T. Boone Pickens is in it for the love. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think part of it may be motivated by patriotism. I'll give him his due. But I think mostly he wants to make big bucks.
Exactly. And of course, in the end of this commercial, is McCain is such a renewable energy fan, and of course that is
that's a joke.
And so all I'm asking is that people who are disgruntled Hillary supporters, if you look at those ads for John McCain and you think about who this person is and you listen to this man on the campaign trail, he's like somebody who's got Alzheimer's disease. I mean, he cannot figure out what's going on from day to day. And I think it would be a terrible mistake for people to vote for John McCain based on John McCain of who he was 10 years or 20 years ago.
And that,
because
yes,
we're voting for who he is now, and who he is now is someone who isn't really in touch with reality.
Not ready for prime time. Thank you so much for your call, Angie. I appreciate it so much. Good points.
Mm-hmm.
It's 7:48. I've got to go to a break for traffic because it's kind of nasty out there this morning, and I also want to talk to you. So 303-713-7600. We'll talk about the economy, stupid, coming up. Also, check out Paul Krugman's editorial today, must discuss, a little later. It's fabulous. It talks about how the Republicans are reducing everything down yet again to a soundbite. 7:49. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk and the J. Marvin Show. Stand by for traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart, Scott Lilly of Center for American Progress, to talk about the economy coming up. Meanwhile, we've got Malik and Julie. I want to get you both in before the end of the hour. Malik in Denver, go. Welcome. Hi, Malik.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Well, I just had a comment. I've listened to the progressive format for quite a while now. And I know it's difficult. And what I see is it's just very hard for most people to understand, you know, what's really going on, the real truth of things that they may see or read or hear.
Can you synopsize it pretty quickly? Because we've only got about a minute and a half. And I want to get Julie in, too.
It sounds like what you're all searching for is peace, right? Was that accurate?
I'd like prosperity, peace, if possible, but I certainly am not going to kowtow to people who want to wish us ill and in terms of terrorism. But even the conservative right-wing think tanks in this country are coming around to the fact that, policing was a good idea. Really?
You are right. Let me ask you, though, what is terrorism? It's controlling people by fear, and we're the biggest terrorists on the planet. We built this empire by going from country to country, giving small governments loans that they could never pay. You should read a book.
I do. I read quite a few books, Malik. Thank you.
Economic Hitman.
Malik, thank you. We don't have time to go into everything you're paranoid about. Julie in Nederland, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, Ed. I was listening to Tom Hartman last night, too, and I heard that Karl Rove had advised John McCain to move away from oil. And my little thought is we should call him John McShell, the VP candidate, the bad presidential candidate.
McCain Exxon. And I can't take credit for that. Jay thought of it. McCain Exxon, 2008. Here's the thing. You know, it's like he didn't tell him to necessarily, though, not encourage oil production. What he did was he said, stand next to places. We need jobs, so we need more oil. We need this, so we need more energy. I mean, he's so foxy, that Karl Rove.
It was just Karl Rove has advised John McCain to move away from oil. So I think
really
we should
funny.
Just attach
All right.
him to the oil company.
Thank you very much for the tip. We've only got about 10 seconds, so I'm going to have to take it away. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm the J. Marvin Show. We'll be right back with Scott Lilly of Center for American Progress. Coming up.